You're listening to the Rev Ministries Podcast. This podcast is taken from the Rev Landon Schott sermons from his home church and travels around the world. For more resources or information, please check out our website at therev.com or check out our iTunes store.
Turn to Matthew 26, 36. If you're there, say amen. If you need more time, say I never read my Bible. We're all there. It says this: Then Jesus went with his disciples to a place called Gethsemane. He said to them, sit here while I go over there and pray. Verse 37, he took Peter, the two sons of Zebedee, along with him, and he began to be sorrowful and troubled. Verse 38, then he said to them, my soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me. Going a little further, he fell on his face to the ground and prayed, my Father, it is possible to take this cup from me, yet not my will, but your will. Verse 40, then he returns to his disciples and found them sleeping. Couldn't you men not keep watch for 1 hour, he asked? Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is so weak. The title of this message tonight and the theme for the month of April for Elevate is hashtag pray for. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for tonight. Lord, I thank you for today, this awesome day that we celebrate your resurrection, God. For our God, you are the only one that is risen, that is alive. Every other God died. Every other God passed away, but you were alive. You rose from the grave for our sins. And God, we thank you for what you've done in our lives. God, I thank you for the millions of people that gave their life to you around the country. And God, I thank you that you're not done because there's still services going on all over the world, even now as we speak, God. So Holy Spirit, we ask for you to go before us and do what you do. I pray that you would speak to us, God. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would give us ears to hear, hearts to receive, minds to understand what you're saying. Holy Spirit, we invite you into this place like we've done from the beginning of this service. We declare this is your service. This is your youth ministry. We are your people. Have your way in this place. God, I thank you for what you're doing. And we lift your word higher than anything else. We declare, God, that your word, the name of Jesus, the blood of Jesus is the highest authority, and so we submit to it tonight. So we declare, speak, Lord, your servants are listening. We love you and praise you. In Jesus' mighty name, everybody who feels God, say amen, amen. And amen. Prayer. I wanted to do a month of prayer. We just got off the Holy Spirit, we talked all last month about the Holy Spirit, and I wanted to start talking about prayer. Prayer is such an interesting thing because it's something that is so simple yet so complex. It's so easy, yet it's so challenging. A lot of us have every intention to pray, but rarely get around to even do it. Prayer has become an afterthought of our life, a last resort rather than a starting point. We pray when we're in trouble. We pray when we need help. Many Christians even say, I'll pray for you, but they never do it. They got good intentions, but it hasn't become a part of our lifestyle. In fact, when I was thinking and praying about tonight's service, prayer has almost become a figure of speech rather than a spiritual discipline. So we say stuff like, I'll pray for you to end a conversation or to end a phone conversation or to say goodbyes, like, hey, see you later. Or, you know, I don't say goodbye, I just see you later. Whatever our little things are, you know, oh, hey, I'll pray for you. But I wonder how many times we really intend to do it or we actually come through on our intentions to pray for somebody. I recently just moved to Austin, Texas. And for those that don't know it, I commute here once a month for Elevate United service. And one of the elders of the church, his name is Elder Grimm. He's an old country guy and just straight up Texan as it gets. And he's got a southern drawl and a twang to his voice. And he's like one of those guys that just, you know, what do they say? Just carries a big stick, walking tall. You know, like he's just an old, tough Texan guy. And I've been so impacted by my relationship with him in just a few short months because every time I encounter this gentleman, we're on the phone and we're talking about what God's doing or spiritual stuff. And he always say, well, let's pray about that. And I'm so used to people saying, let's pray about that. And then they hang up the phone. And he just starts praying.
And if, it doesn't matter what it's for. It's been over and over on the phone in different conversations. And on Tuesday, I hurt my back really bad. I was helping my neighbor move his refrigerator. And I really felt in my spirit I was supposed to go help him. And now I'm wondering if that was demons telling me to go help him. Because I would go, I'm wearing a back brace tonight because I went to go help move this fridge. I'm forgetting I'm almost 32 and I'm old and getting chubby and not just all of a sudden like, you know, getting whooped on the basketball court by the Edge students. And tell the truth, shame the devil. And I go to jump and I'm like, white men can't jump. And like, I couldn't jump before and now I can't jump at all. And I forget I'm getting old except for Heather reminds me like every day. Anyway, we'll get marriage counseling later. So, and I walked in the service on Wednesday night and literally I was in so much pain. I went to the chiropractor twice and I walked into the service on Wednesday night hunched over. And I felt in my spirit that God wanted to do something profound on Wednesday night at Reach Church. And I was hunched over and I could not physically stand up straight. And I walked into the service hunched over like this. And Elder Grimm was the first person I saw. He goes, "What'd you do to yourself?" And I was like, I just hurt myself. He goes, "Well, let's pray right now." And just grabs a hold of me and just starts praying over me. And when I went to go grab the microphone to preach, literally the pain left my body and I was able to preach freely. I know a lot of you leaders were praying for me. And I experienced, a true miracle in that moment. I couldn't stand up straight. The altar was packed and people giving their life to Jesus, weeping before the Lord and experiencing deliverance. But he didn't just say, hey, you know, I'll pray for you eventually, maybe. He actually did it. Pray for has become a figure of speech. It's interesting. We're calling this month hashtag pray for because you'll see almost more people post about praying than actually pray. And then we pray when there's tragedy. We pray for, what do we pray for? I asked Justine and the media team to get me the most trending hashtags and pray for Germany. You know, there was just a plane accident there. That's trending right now. Apparently, One Direction, one of their members left. They're on the verge of destruction. So one of the most trending hashtags is pray for directioners. And I got to be honest with you. I don't follow One Direction. I already told you I'm getting old and 30. So my days, it was NSYNC, baby, bye, bye, bye. And don't make me go Justin Timberlake on you. Just kidding. So. I'm guessing directioners is what they call the little groupies, right? So pray for directioners. Pray for them. One of their main, I don't even know who this kid is. One of the main guys, he looks like Kagan Wesley though. One of the main guys is leaving the group. What is the group gonna do? To be honest with you, I don't know if that should be the focus of your prayer life. But for some, that's what it is. But our prayer life has been summed up to a hashtag. Pray for this, pray for that. But what is real prayer? What is prayer for? And in its finest, most condensed element, prayer is communion with God. It's talking with God. I'm going to talk more about prayer tonight. You ready to go? The Bible teaches us to pray for things. Unfortunately, not for directioners, but it does tell us to pray for the sick in James 5:14. We're told to pray for our enemies, Matthew 5:4. We're supposed to pray for the peace of Jerusalem, Psalms 122:6. We're supposed to pray for spiritual gifts. Let me take a time to teach real quick. I want you to know the Holy Spirit has gifts. We talked about them all month long in our tribes and small groups. And so many people say this. They say, well, if God wanted me to have a spiritual gift, he would give it to me. And my response to that is, then why did God tell you to ask him for that spiritual gift? Because he wants to give it to you. He just wants you to ask for it first. Pray for spiritual gifts. Pray for those in sin, not judge them. Pray for forgiveness, Matthew 6:12. You're supposed to pray for your leaders, 1 Timothy 2:2. 1 Timothy 2:1 says we're supposed to pray for all people. How about some biblical examples of prayer? Abraham's servant prayed and asked God, and God directed him to a person that he should have his master's son be their heir, or his master's wife should be. Daniel prayed, and we know God gave him interpretation of dreams. Esther and Mordecai prayed. In fact, all of the city fasted, and God answered their prayer and saved them from destruction. Believers in Jerusalem prayed, and God opened the door of prisons to set Peter free. Over and over and over in prayer, there's examples of God answering prayer. And all of these biblical stories and all of these lessons, still we don't pray. Still it's so hard. Then we have all these questions about prayer, like, am I doing it right? Or does it even matter if I pray? Or if my prayer's getting to God? Or are my prayers working, is probably the greatest question. And then we have the young ones, or we could say the immature ones, that say, well, I tried praying and it didn't work. Those are usually the ones that say, I tried tithing and it didn't work. Trust me, it's not broke. And it's not supposed to work. Obedience works. I tried it didn't work. My prayer's working. What is real prayer? I'm gonna tell you this, for you note takers that are taking notes. Prayer is this. It's figuring out what God wants to do, and then joining him in agreement and in action. If your prayers aren't working, you're probably praying the wrong thing. Because here, Elevate, I'm glad Elevate United Dance Crew is here. Listen, if you're not praying God's prayers, it's why your prayers aren't working, because listen, God's prayers work. So in our tribes all month long, we're gonna be focusing, because this is Easter month, is around the prayers that Jesus prayed. Because here's what I noticed, all of Jesus' prayers worked. And probably the greatest dilemma of us even praying or not, or having a life of prayer or not, is that if we started seeing things happen when we prayed, we would probably pray a lot more. Are you following me? So when Jesus prayed, stuff happened. I don't know about you, but I want things to happen when I pray. I don't want to just sing about revival or sing about a move of God. I don't want to just hear testimonies on the mission field about amazing things happened or healings or miracles or signs and wonders. I want to experience it. I don't know about you. And to be honest, I want to experience it tonight. Tonight, you're going to pray things and God's going to do supernatural things. Tonight, you're going to pray and you're going to see God move on behalf of his will. So why don't prayers work? James 4:3. This is a crazy scripture. It's awesome. The King James says this. You ask and you don't receive because you ask amiss, that you consume upon your lust. Because we're a little ignorant in our generation, let me read an easier version. It says this. You ask and you don't receive because you ask, watch this, with wrong motives. This is like one of those wrestler jackets that make you sweat crazy. Listen, let me tell you what a wrong mode of prayer is. Lord, let her be my wife. It's quiet in here. Is it prom coming up or something? When's prom? You're like, shoot, that's the only thing I pray ever. Lord, I want this amount of money. Can I just drop a truth bomb on you? Do you know nowhere in the Word of God does it tell you to ask God for money? Nowhere. Oh no, what are you going to do with that? What are the preachers on TV going to talk about now? Listen, nowhere. It tells you things to ask for. Then it says things, crazy things like, if you ask for anything in my name. So how come when we ask for stuff, it doesn't happen? This is why we have to know God's word right here, right? You ready to get into it? Because you're asking amiss. You're asking with wrong motives. You're asking for you because your number one priority is how many followers and likes you get. You're asking because you check on your pictures more than you check on your heart. You're asking because you care about what they say about your photos and what they say about your life rather than what God thinks about your life. You check in with everyone and everything but God. You talk to everyone in everything. Prayer has become not only the last resort, it's just the lifeline of help when you're in the oh crap stage and I can't get out of this. My parents can't help me. My friends can't help me. The lawyers can't help me. Teachers can't help me. So I guess I only have God to choose to. Now listen, God answers those Hail Mary prayers. He answered the Patriots prayers in the Super Bowl. I can tell you that. He answers those prayers, but listen, I want to be an individual that I don't have to ask those prayers, but because I'm asking him before I even do anything. The key is not to ask God for help when you're in trouble in your relationship. You ask God if she's the one before you talk to her. We're asking God to get us out of trouble for things we never asked him about in the first place. This is what we need to begin to pray for. We need to start praying with right motives. We need to start praying with the right heart. We need to start praying from a right place to begin with. James 5:16, it says this, the effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much. What is righteousness? Righteousness is right standing with God. It means you do, you live, and you act according to God's word, not your own. That means this, that you do what God's word says is right, not what you say or what the news or what e-channel or what some idiot on Twitter tells you is right or wrong. What God says. This is what righteousness is. This is what right living is. So here's what God says. He says he answers the prayers of the righteous. In fact, if you go read Proverbs, it says God turns his ears away from the sinner. So it means this, that you can pray prayers over and over and over and over and over, and God will ignore those prayers if they're from a place of amiss or wrong motives or unrighteousness. Man, could you imagine what your prayer life would be like if you didn't just ask God for stuff or tell him you're sorry? Imagine what your prayer life would be like. Let me even say this. Imagine if you talked to God and he talked back and you heard him. That'll keep you praying. That'll keep you asking questions. When you hear from God, this generation is asking amiss. We're asking God if it's okay for us to be gay. We're asking God if it's okay for us to live in immorality. We're asking God if it's okay for the things that he already said it's not okay, but we're asking from a wrong place. We're asking for greedy things. We're asking for immoral things. We're asking for unholy things, and that's why we're not hearing our prayers being answered. I want you to pay attention to what you see people praying for. I want you to, you'll know someone instantly. Here, let me help you out. You want me to help you find your husband or your wife? Just pray with them one time, you'll know. Because when you pray with someone, you know their spiritual depth. When you have spiritual depth. Because deep calls unto deep. The Bible says don't be unequally yoked with unbelievers. You know what that means? It doesn't mean that you're just dating a Christian. It means that you're someone who's in your same spiritual weight division. See, some of you girls are professional fighters. Spiritually. Some of you girls can throw down spiritually. Okay, and you're dating a bum street fighter who's trying to hang with you, but he's just getting in street fights. Look at there's no true skill, there's no true substance. He's not in your category yet. That's what it means to be not unequally yoked. We got to make sure that we're yoked in every area of our lives. It's so important. Listen, the why that we're praying is more important than how we're praying. What's the reason why we're praying, not how we're doing it? Listen, I'm going to talk about how to do it in a second, but the why is so much more important because the why is the heart condition behind it. In fact, Jesus criticized the prayers that attract attention from men. He criticized people that wanted to be seen. He criticized those that were loudmouthed and arrogant and wanted people to notice them when they prayed. He says, when you pray, you don't do it like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues, to be in the street corners, to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you that they have received their reward in full. Look what it says. Keep that scripture up there. It says they love to pray to be seen by others. Their heart's wrong. Their motives are wrong. And that's why they don't get answers to their prayers. So I'm going to talk about the most famous prayer of all. It's the Lord's Prayer in Matthew 6, 9. It says this, and this is how you should pray. Someone say, how to pray. Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Verse 10, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us of our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Now, this is crazy because in this prayer, when Jesus said this is how you pray, he doesn't say this is what you pray. Because majority of people just repeat the Lord's Prayer like this is what they should pray. But he didn't say this is what you should pray. He said this is how you should pray. So this week in your tribes, we're going to teach you what that means to how you pray this. How do you really pray like this? Jesus said this is what you should do. So if you're taking notes, I want you to write this down because this is so important. Because this is the focus of this scripture. The objective of every prayer needs to be thy will be done or your will be done. This is why prayers aren't getting answered. It's because we're not praying his will, we're praying our will. Can we just be real tonight? So you pray what you want and then you ask God to back you up on what you want. Right? Rather than you praying what God wants and getting in a line with what he wants. And so we do, God, I want this car. Will you back me up? God, I want this job. Will you back me up? God, I want this school. Would you back me up? God, I want her. Would you back me up? God, I want this. Would you back me up? See, when you get what I'm telling you, listen. We're not here to waste time at United Services. Come on, these are supposed to be game changer services, moments in the presence of God that will change your life forever. If you learn how to pray life, your life will forever be the same. When you learn how to pray right, when you learn, someone say how to pray. This is the game changer. Because then you won't waste time applying for the wrong colleges and then being all upset and then frustrated with God that he didn't answer your prayer when you weren't praying his will in the first place. Then that's how you're able to get in the edge when you don't have anything because you were supposed to be there. So you know God's going to create a way because he told you to be there in prayer, and now you're not doing your will, you're doing his will. Guys, this is the hardest thing in Christianity right here. This is what separates the kids from the adults. This is what separates the power players from the fakers, the players, the wannabes, okay? This is it right here, is learning how to put God first in your life. Right here, what we're talking about. It's amazing. I had a conversation with my brother-in-law. His name's Scott. And 6 years ago, we sat in my car in front of our church, and he was at a turning point. Some of you guys are at that turning point tonight. I feel it in my spirit. And he's good looking and muscular, and all the girls liked him and got, you know, charisma, and he's an awesome guy. And he loves God and has a heart after God. In fact, Heather and I were on our third date, and she was telling me about her brother, and I never even met him. This is 12 years ago. And she started telling me about her brother, and as we were driving in the car, I heard the Holy Spirit speak to me and say, he's supposed to be a pastor. We're driving in the car. I remember exactly where we were on the I-10 freeway as we were driving. So we're sitting in the car. This is 7 years after I heard God speak to me about that. We're sitting in the car. And I'm trying to convince him to give his life to God. You know, he's already said the sinner's prayer and blah, blah, blah. But give his life to God. You know what I'm talking about? Well, you live. You, it's not going to church on Easter. I mean, you live in this thing. And we're sitting in the car, and he said something to me so raw and so real. He said, Landon, how do I make myself do what I don't want to do? And you and I told him, I don't know. Tribe leaders, I promise you, you won't have all the answers. But if you don't do what you're supposed to do, it will be hell till you get to where you're supposed to do. He wouldn't make himself do what God wanted him to do. He dated the wrong person, did the wrong things, found out that he can make a lot of money selling drugs, found out he can make more money having people sell drugs for him, have guns pointed to his head, got addicted to the drugs. I'm telling you, he was on his deathbed 8 months ago. 8 months ago, on his deathbed. This guy's ripped. I mean, he benches almost 400 pounds. I mean, the kid's an animal, down to 160 pounds on drugs. I just spent the entire weekend with him. Not only is he at CF&I Bible College, he just got asked to be a youth pastor at the church that he is serving in. He's starting a ministry. He's just went out on the streets of Dallas that we need to be doing in Tucson, by the way. He started going downtown Dallas on Saturday nights and just following the Holy Spirit. He has 50 college students following him down on Saturday nights to go minister to people. And when people ask them if they get credit for it, he laughs in their face. He said, yes, we get credit in heaven for it. Last Saturday night, listen, on drugs 8 months ago. Last Saturday night, they got 16 people saved coming out of clubs downtown downtown Dallas on Saturday night. Watch. Because he finally aligned his life with the will of God. The week before he was going to Bible college, he called me. He's like, man, I don't think I'm supposed to, do this. I think I'm supposed to just be, a businessman. This is what cop-outs sound like. I feel like I'm supposed to be a businessman that just finances the kingdom. And I said to him, bull! I said, I heard the Lord 12 years ago that you're supposed to be a pastor and you're going to be miserable until you obey God. He said, you're right. I had never even seen him like this. This kid is challenging my faith with his love for God. Watch. Because he finally said, after 6 years, not my will, but your will. Can we just be raw in this place? Since Pastor Zane says some pretty crazy things, I'm just gonna say this, that your life will suck as long as you keep living for you. Hear me, guys, and it won't matter who you date, you'll ruin them. And it doesn't matter what school you go to, you'll be miserable. And it doesn't matter how much money you make, it'll never be enough. I'm telling you, there will be this emptiness inside you for eternity until you get this in your heart. Hear me in the balcony. Until you get this in your heart and spirit, not my will, but your will be done. It needs to be the focus of everything in your life. And if you begin to pray like this, everything will change. Watch, let's look how Jesus did it. So Jesus tells us to pray like this. This is how you pray. And then we see it firsthand. Are you ready? In Matthew 26, we know the story. This is in the garden. It's Good Friday. He's about to be executed because he's about to be arrested. This is right before the trial. And he's in the garden and he's praying. Now this is amazing because if you study God's word, you'll see 2/3 of the time Jesus is in prayer, praying, which blows my mind because he doesn't even start ministry till he's 30. He only does it for 3 years. And of the 3 years, 2/3 of the time, he's praying. What? This is how powerful prayer is. He's all God and all man, but he's still praying. And we think 1 hour prayer service is too difficult. Shout out to everybody who's at our awesome prayer service tonight. Listen. He's in the garden. He's sweating blood. Because there's so much pressure, there's so much anguish. He's bearing the weight of the world. He's bearing your sins. He's bearing my sins. He's holding it. And he's feeling the humanity of being man and the responsibility of God. And he's crying out to God. And he says this most powerful prayer that we know. He'd already told us to pray it in Matthew 6. But now in Matthew 26, we're seeing what it's like. Listen. It will be the hardest thing you ever do to pray his will be done. You need to hear me tonight. This is not a regular night. I felt God all day just stirring in my spirit. Listen, the battle wasn't won on the cross. It was won in the garden. Put it up. Put the picture up. Gethsemane up. Would you do that, Kevin? I stood in this garden. I stood in it. I'm going back there in November. I stood in the place where he cried out. I stood on the place. I touched the rock, which they call the rock of suffering. This is the place that he cried out. And you know what's amazing? That you won't even know this until you've been there in person. But when you're standing on the hill, Steve and I were there. When you're standing on the hill where he was arrested, it's amazing. Where he was praying on the Mount of Olives, right in the area of the Garden of Gethsemane. When we were coming to arrest him, it was at night. That means they had torches coming down. It was a mob of people. So the entire time he's praying, he could see the men coming to arrest him and Judas betraying him. And the entire time where it's not looking good, he's praying, not my will. I wonder if those are the times where he went back the second and the third time as he's seen them getting closer and closer. He's seen the little torches getting bigger and bigger and bigger as they're getting closer and closer, for the time is coming. That's where the battle was won. This is where the battle of your Christianity is won. Listen, hear this, young people. It's not in my notes. But if you can't pray the will of the Father, you'll never do the will of the Father. Write it on the screens for me, Kevin. If you can't pray the will of the Father, you're never going to do the will of the Father. So the first place we have to start is praying for it. If you're 15, hear me, forget prom, start praying for your spouse. Save the $200 that you worked all year for. Come on, hear me. Listen, start praying for him. You're not a vision of my daughter before she was born. And Heather had 3 miscarriages. And so she called me and she said, honey, I'm pregnant again. I'm driving in my car up 7th Avenue in Phoenix, and I heard this audible voice out loud saying, you know she's gonna lose this one too. I pulled my car over and I bursted into my prayer language. You know why? Because when you pray in tongues, you strengthen your spirit. And I started yelling out loud, Father, I thank you for my daughter. I thank you that she will not be lost. I thank you, God, she's going to go full term because I've already seen what I've prayed for. My daughter saw me preaching on Wednesday night. She goes, we're driving home. She goes, Dad. She does this little. She goes, Dad, I saw you. I'm like, you saw me what? I saw you preaching. I said, you saw me? She goes, you're not supposed to do that. You're not the pastor. I said, babe, no, this is what daddy does. I preach. She goes, you preach? Like, yes, you sound like your mom. Yes. I said, are you going to preach one day? And she goes, Dad, I'm just a little girl. I said, little girls preach? She goes, they do? So I Googled little kid preachers, and I found some like little African girl in like Nairobi, Kenya or something, and she's up. She's like, hallelujah. And I showed it to her, and I said, you hear what she's saying? She goes, no, I think she's speaking in tongues. Come on, let's go back to the word. Matthew 26. He says, Father, look at it. If it's possible, take this cup from me. Come on, say, read it with me. Yet not as I will, but as you will. What was the temptation that Jesus was facing? Keep reading. Here's what it says. Keep going to the next scripture. What does it say? It's craziness. Watch this. Then he tells his disciples, watch and pray so that you don't fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. My Father, it is not possible for this cup to be taken away unless I drink it. May your will be done. Listen, if you're taking notes and if you get anything tonight, get this. The temptation that Jesus was feeling was, I feel the Holy Ghost, and this is not in my notes, was the same temptation in Matthew chapter 4 when Satan was tempting him in the desert where the Spirit led him into the wilderness. Watch. The temptation was this, to pray his will. Do you know why you pray amiss? Do you know why your prayers aren't answered? Do you know why you miss it? Because we pray our will. Jesus said, be careful you don't fall into temptation. Not my will, but your will. Hear this, young people. Ask yourself this question. Do your prayers ultimately bring glory to your Father?
Worship team, come on back. All of Jesus' prayers worked because he never prayed his will. All of Jesus' prayers worked because he never once prayed his will. If you're taking notes, this is maybe the most important thing I'll say tonight. Go ahead and move this manual. Is everything changes when you begin to pray his will in your life. Let me ask you real tonight. What's your prayer life like? Are you a pray for directioners? Are you a pray for hashtag? Or do you have a prayer life? Hear me. Everything changes when you pray your will, his will. You want your prayers answered? Start praying the right ones. So what do? You ask him for his will. Every day. Jesus said, this is how you pray. My Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done. You know how I've started praying? Is, Lord, this is what's in my heart to do. But if it's not in your heart to do, then don't make it work out. Take it out of me. Take the desire away. Cause things to mess up. Don't let me get there. Don't let me go there. Don't let it happen. Father, I don't want to do my ministry. I don't want to do my group, my tribe. I don't want to do my life, Lord. I don't want to do me. I want to do what you have for me to do. I want to be famous because I glorified your name, made you famous, that I deflected every fame that man would come to me, to you. Those are the kind of prayers that change things. Those are the kind of prayers that shake nations. Young people, I've been so burdened by America. I've been so burdened by our generation. Thanks to the hashtags and the social networks, evil is growing faster and faster and faster. We need a generation that will pray. We need a generation that knows how to repent. We need a generation that knows how to intercede and pray for our generation. We need the righteous ones that will stand and contend and ask God for a school. As your school's going to hell and as immorality is spreading, that you stand and be the righteous one in your generation asking God to save your school, because those are the prayers that he listens to. With every head bowed and every eye closed. Worship team, just begin to play whatever worship song that we're going into. Let me ask you this. Some of you have a hard time praying God's will because you're not living for him yet. This is the day that we celebrate his resurrection. This is the day that we celebrate his life-giving power. On Friday was the day that we celebrated him dying for our sins, and he stayed dead for 3 days. Conquering death, triumphing over the enemy, taking authority back from Satan that man, Adam, handed him in the garden, and reclaiming the authority that was given to us by God, the authority that is now in Christ Jesus, that we may be in right standing again with God. And today, tonight, I don't know what you're going through. I don't know how you're living, but if you want to be right with God, what does it mean to be right with God? It means that you're not living for him. In fact, some of you might attend church every week, but you're not living for him. Some of you might have Christian parents, but you're not living for him. Some of you might attend tribe, but you're not living for him. What it means to be a disciple is that you live and breathe this thing with Jesus, your relationship with Jesus. In fact, like a friend that you miss over a long period of time, you can't let days go by without talking to him, without praying to him, without asking him his will for your life. That is what it means to follow Jesus. Tonight, if you would say, Landon, I love God, but I'm not living for him. Maybe some of you have
issues in your life that you need God to deliver you from. Maybe some of you have addictions or you're bound, and because you've lived for you, they've created habits and they've created strongholds and they've created perversions and they've created just problems in your life. And you'd say, Landon, I need a breakthrough tonight. I need healing from my problems. I need deliverance from my problems. I need deliverance from addictions. I need a deliverance from depression, for living for me. Tonight, I want to live for God. Tonight, before I even pray your will, I want to pursue his will for my life. Tonight's your night. Today's your day. Millions of people all over the world have dedicated their lives to Jesus. I'm not asking you to say a prayer tonight. In fact, I don't want you to say a prayer. What I want to ask you is, do you want to live for him? Not meet me at an altar tonight, but pray to him in the morning. And tomorrow night, and Tuesday morning, and Tuesday night, and the rest of this week, and the rest of this month, and the rest of your life, that you want to live for Jesus. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if that's you tonight, and you say, Landon, I don't even know how many times I've prayed a prayer of salvation, but I don't think I'm living for him. Tonight, if that's you, I want you to get up out of your seat and meet me at this altar on the count of two, because we're not waiting to three. One, two, get down here. Come on, come meet me at this altar. Come on, meet me at this altar. Come on out of the balcony. Meet me at the altar. Come on, all the way down. Come on, just scoot all the way to the stairs. Come on. There's a lot of you. Come on, we'll wait for the balcony, guys. This is not about saying a prayer. This is not about an emotional decision. This is about saying, I know it's not going to work if I don't live for God. Listen to me. And there's some more of you that need to come down. You're feeling that pitter-patter, like, come on, leaders, begin to pray. You're feeling that hesitation. If you're wondering what people are going to think about you, you know that's the enemy trying to keep you from your destiny. I want to encourage you, don't be my brother-in-law for 6 years. Don't wait on 6 years to get in God's will. Come on, today is the day of salvation. Today is the day to get right. Don't wait another week, another month. Wow, you know what I just felt in my spirit? There's somebody in this place that you have some plans to get into trouble. I just felt this. You have plans to do something you shouldn't do. And you said to yourself, I'm going to wait till we do that before I make this decision. And I don't even know who you are, but if that's you, I want you to talk to me afterwards, because this is the grace of God on your life in this moment. Because the enemy has something in store for that moment. The plans of sin. That there will be, I don't mean to scare you, but no coming back from. And the Lord has spoken tonight a prophetic warning to save your life. You need to get to this altar right now. And whoever that person is, I encourage you to talk to me afterwards so I can personally pray for you. Come on, lift your hands to a holy God, every single one of you up here.
And just start telling God how much you love him. Just start telling him right now. Every one of you up here, come on, you don't need to repeat after me. Just start telling him that you love him. Just tell God you love him. And then start telling God that you're sorry for the things that you have done that you know that are wrong. And start asking him to forgive. Come on, you do it out loud. Just whisper it. Just let it whisper out of your mouth. But ask him to forgive you. Ask him to cleanse you. Ask him to wash you. Come on, start doing it all over this place. Come on, pray leaders. Pray tribe leaders. Pray Elevate leaders. Father, I declare right now over these young people, Lord, that this is a moment of grace for their lives, that grace has been extended to them, that they may receive, God, your mercy and your forgiveness. I thank you that grace is coming in to empower them to live a righteous life. Now, everyone in this room, pray this with me. Pray it loud. Say, Lord Jesus. Pray it louder. Lord Jesus. Louder. Lord Jesus. I confess my sins. Every one of them. They're too many to name, but you know what they are. And I declare the blood of Jesus to wash over my life, the saving power of Jesus to cleanse me, to forgive me, to heal me. Say, I pray from this day forward, not my will, but your will. I want your will. I pray your will in my life. Holy Spirit, lead me and guide me. Jesus, you're my King.
Thank you for listening to the Rev Ministries podcast. If this message has blessed you, we want to encourage you to share it with a friend. For more information about this ministry and how you can make a difference by financially supporting us, please visit our website at therev.com. For full-length sermons and episodes on audio or video, please visit us at therev.com or search for us on iTunes.